Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 is where we'll be getting our context from tonight. Let me first say that it's an absolute privilege to stand before y'all and to preach from the Word of God. I pray that our Lord is pleased with my efforts up here, and I hope that y'all are edified by it. I thank the elders for allowing me the opportunity to also do this in front of y'all tonight. It means a lot to me. Hebrews chapter 6. Quietly to yourselves, consider a couple of the following questions before we get started. What is the Bible about? Who is Jesus? What is sin? How can one be saved? What is baptism? What is once saved, always saved? Do you believe in it? Why not? Who and what is the Trinity? Are spiritual gifts still around today? Does the law of Moses still apply? And finally, starting from the very beginning of Genesis, can anyone here tell me the entire story all the way through Revelations? I don't doubt for one second that there are those amongst us here tonight that can't answer with total precision these questions that I pose to you, and many more about doctrine. They look deeply and contently into the Word of God to find out answers of how it is that they're supposed to live, what it is that we're supposed to defend, the truths, if you will. And doctrine is important. These truths must be known and they must be defended. But the question is doctrine the end of the story? Is it enough for you to be a mature Christian? With that being said, let's go ahead and read Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Specifically, let us press on to maturity. The very beginning, God is asking us to leave something, the elementary teachings about Christ. We look later on in Hebrews, in verse 2, some of the instructions of maybe what it is that they're supposed to be leaving, like washing and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. I believe these things are elementary principles. They're things that we all should know, that we should take heed of, things that when we are given a defense about what it is that we need to say in front of someone that is asking questions, we know the answers to them. But once they are learned, God is asking us to simply move past them. Not forgetting them, not abandoning them, to actually move forward. He wants you to progress. He wants you to become something else than what you can simply learn from reading intellectually into the text. One does not simply dispense with the alphabet once one learns to read. I really like that analogy because that's something we do daily. We all know the alphabet, like the back of our hand, A, B, C, D, so on and so forth. But we all know how to talk. We all know how to read. We all know how to make complete sentences. And so, with this being said, I'm not up here tonight to say that the principles and the things that we need to know doctrinally are not of any importance. Some of the things that are absolutely non-negotiable, of course, by Scripture, are, was God made flesh? Was that man Christ? Did he die? Was he raised from the dead? And is he the only source of salvation to the Father? These are things that we need to know. We see, was he made flesh in John 1:1-14. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24. He died and rose from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And we are justified by faith in those type of things. Doctrine is also important because we cannot be saved without it. We need to know who it is that we believe in. We need to know what it is that we believe in. Things concerning him, what it is required in us to be saved. They're the essentials of the faith that the Bible states. Now, I'd like to point out to us that doctrine can be considered something that is of the mind. It is, in one sense, easier than those teachings of Christ that deal with the heart. Because a doctrine, it simply is us understanding With the heart, it is literally us obeying. And so I really want to try to press tonight what it means to press on to maturity. Maturity, I believe, is when our understanding of these truths, this doctrinal truth, actually comes out through our actions. That we understand exactly what it is that we want to encompass in ourselves as Christians, and we act upon it. That we're able to decipher good and evil and make the right decision, therefore. First one again, therefore lead the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and let's press on to maturity. I like the King James translation a little bit more. It says, let us go on to perfection. I want to take a look at what this word actually means. In the Greek, the word is teleiotis. It means perfection and maturity both. The word teleiotis means a perfecter, one that has his own faith raised to perfection, and it is set as the highest example of said faith. It's easy to look at ourselves and consider being a perfecter of this faith and knowing that we all fall short in that. And that's just the story of humanity. However, there is an example, and we all know who that example is, and that's Jesus the Christ, one that perfected the faith, one that actually embodied the reason why God made us in the first place, to be perfect, to be someone that was acceptable in his sight. And so I kind of want to dive into that a little bit farther about what it is actually to perfect the faith. Knowing that it's something that is kind of unachievable in our lives here, it's something, though, that is workable and needs to be ran towards, if you will. God does not command us where he does not provide or empower. We see in John 6:29, God works faith in the believer. Romans 12:3, God has given everyone a measure of faith. And James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, teleiotis comes from the Greek word telos, which means to make perfect, to carry through completely, to accomplish, finish, bring to an end. And we read many examples of this in the scripture. Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And we see in the context of being able to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good from evil. And I think most importantly, we find the perfection of our lives in the embodiment of love. After Jesus is talking about what it means to love one another, in Matthew 5:48, he says, therefore be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This perfection of love is a sign of true maturity. Jesus tells us what the first and greatest commandment is. You shall love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And if love is a sign of perfection or maturity, then let us also observe the reaction we should have towards others. In John 13:34-35, Jesus also says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. That you also love one another, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I believe that he says it really poetically there, that the world will know that you are my disciples through love. Not about how many Bible verses that you can spout out, not if you can actually quote all the scriptures in the world. If you left love out of that equation, then no one in the world would ever compliment you on being a Christian. In fact, we're typically torn apart by our lack of love. We have social media where we like to put our passages out there, and we have constantly being torn down, it seems, by the world of, well, I thought you Christians were supposed to be a certain way. I thought y'all were supposed to have love that just bowed out from y'all. And unfortunately, our every move is being watched as Christians. When we preach the word and don't live it, it makes it difficult for us to say that we take up our cross daily. And I think that's a sign of maturity. I think being able to put yourself last, take the doctrine into heart, but put on the love of Jesus Christ. Now, spiritual maturity is not instantaneous, and it's not final. Any type of maturity, for that matter, couldn't be said so. Anyone that's been in any type of academic studies knows that you go through 101 and 102 studies before you get into anything known as a doctorate or a PhD level. And the same can definitely be said with the spiritual maturity. Maturity is not an end that we can achieve, like I kind of alluded to before. We are to keep growing and progressing. A high degree of maturity can be attained in this life here and now, but full maturity cannot be realized this side of heaven. It's something to be thankful for, though. It's something that I put my head down at night, and I can actually sleep knowing that all things are done through Christ, though. That my responsibilities for maturity and to continue seeking it should not be laid asunder or put on the back burner for any reason because of what Christ did for me. It's something that we should all aspire to because of the love that was shown to us. It's something that we can't earn. There's not a point in maturity where it's like, okay, I did it. We figured it out. All the check marks are done. I get to go to heaven. But all is done through Christ. And that's something that gives me great assurance. It's difficult to achieve maturity and perfection state in our normal humanly bodies because it was related to an infinite God. Our maturity will never be absolute here on this earth, but it is only relative to the supreme source. But it can be a dynamic process involving a constant progress. So let us progress beyond the basics and start living what we claim to know. Maturity can only be judged by the standard of God in Christ, incarnate love. Love sacrifices, love considers another more important. Love rejoices in the well-being and safety of another. Love begets honesty, integrity, and character. Love unites people together, brings out forgiveness, and even convicts the hearts of God's people to contemplate on holiness, purity, humility, and patience. Those things that I described right then, is that someone that you know that doesn't have love attached to their heart? Is that someone that I consider is a phenomenal example of what Christ wanted us to be? When you lack those things, you can spout out all the doctrine you want to in the world, but it means nothing without love. In Christ means being more like Christ. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus was God in the flesh, possessed all authority in heaven and earth. He had the right to do whatever he wanted with us, to this world, and to the universe. But what did he choose to do? Philippians 2:5-8, he humbled himself. Matthew 5, he taught others. He forgave people, he loved people. And he died for us. In infancy, there is selfishness. There is quarreling, there's arguments, there's divisions, there's unreconciled relationships, and unforgiving memories, and all such sins. Maturity, there's unity, reconciliation, healing, and of course, the manifestation of the love of Christ. Are you manifesting the true maturity that God wants you to? Are you seeking to grow in the grace, knowledge, and love of God? God's purpose is to produce disciples who reflect the perfect humility of his Son. People who are able to react to the trials of life in an adult and not in a childish manner. Meeting adult situations with adult reactions. Mature reactions. And loving actions. Forgiving actions. In short, God's purpose is to produce people who fulfill their humanity and become what God always planned for you to be. I'd like to end tonight with a prayer. I appreciate y'all's attention. If y'all can't tell that, I am very nervous about being up here. After the prayer, I'll give it over to Brother Dell. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for being able to come here tonight. We're so thankful for the word that you've given us that explains your doctrine and lays out a plan for us to learn from, become smarter in a way that allows us to defend the faith. But Lord, please don't let it stop there. Please let us move on to maturity, to perfection, to better ourselves, to open our hearts, to love, to forgiveness, to look at others with compassion, Lord, like you looked on us. We're thankful, Lord, for the cross. We're thankful for Jesus, who is our ultimate example. Be with us and forgive us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.